Welcome to the chat room. Nice to have your company. Doing the chatting, the Dean of Sydney, Philip Jensen.
Hello, Kel.
And we're here at St Andrew's Cathedral. And if you're ever in Sydney and you'd like to pop along to St Andrew's Cathedral, we'd love to see you and have a chat to you. Right now we're going to chat about the subject of pornography. You think we talk pornography, you just think, bad, that's a bad thing. Okay, dealt with that, forget about it. But there's more to it than that.
Oh, a lot more, yes.
Because the world has suddenly discovered, unbelievers have suddenly discovered, that pornography is a bad thing, haven't
they? Which is astonishing that they have been astonished by it, frankly. It's just surprising that they're surprised. Especially some journalists I've read, who are supposed to be cynical, sceptical about human nature, etc. And they're now surprised that given the internet, we've got a massive explosion of pornography.
I'm told it makes more money than any other type of website. Because there are so many of them, makes huge amounts of money.
And something like, was it a quarter of the population in the month of March of this year watched some pornography?
Was that the figure?
Something like that.
Yeah. So why is it that widespread?
Well, for two reasons. One, because of nature, and the other because of sin. Because of nature, because we're hardwired as animals to be sexual beings. God has created us. And he's created us as one of the animals. We're no different in one sense from a cow, a dog, or a rabbit. Rabbit would be the appropriate one here on us, I suppose. We're no different to any other animal. We have very strong sexual drives and urges. Some of us more strong than others, but we all have. And that's the way we've been created to be.
Now, before you get on to sin, can I say, unbelievers at this point say, yeah, sex is a good thing. We should, you know, whatever we feel like doing, we should do. You know, there's no guidelines, it's just there, we just do whatever we like. There's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, but animals don't think it's a good thing, it's just something they do.
Yes. You know,
they eat, they defecate, they fornicate.
They make no judgments.
It's no judgments, just an activity that you're engaged in. Humans, though, are made not just as animals, but in the image of God. And so, therefore, the way we do things is different to all the other animals. Table manners when we're eating. I mean, a teenager can just graze in front of the open fridge door.
Yes.
But grazing is, that's not the way to eat.
Well, you say to small children, don't eat with your mouth open.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are manners. Because eating is part of our interpersonal relationships. That's why it's so rude to read at the table.
Right. So that's why there are rules about sex. It's part of our interpersonal relationships.
Well, sex is fundamentally about our relationships. And being in the image of God means we're not just animals. We are special animals. Animals we are.
Yes.
And that's why we have the drives. That's why we have the interest. I mean, when you don't have interest in sex, go to the doctor, get a checkup, see if there's something wrong.
Yes.
You know, it's completely normal, completely natural. But being in the image of God means, no, we have morality. We actually are concerned with what we do with our bodies, concerned what we do with each other and how we relate to each other and how we use each other. They then become issues. You don't ever punish or call the moral question over one animal that would rape another.
Mm. It's because we're people and people matter.
People matter.
Yeah.
How we relate matters.
There's one myth that needs to be exploded at this point because unbelievers, non-Christians will say, you Christians are obsessed with sex, you think it's all bad. We don't think it's all bad, do we?
Well, that's not one myth, that's two myths.
Oh, all right. Demolish two myths in that case.
Well, we're not obsessed.
Yes.
That's one quarter or whatever it is of the population that is watching pornography, they're obsessed.
Yes.
I'm not obsessed.
Yes, it's the obsession is the massive spread of pornography on the internet.
It's a little bit rough when, you know, a quarter of the population is spending hours and hours, 8, 10, 15 hours a week on pornography. A Christian stands up and says, hang on, we've got a problem here. You're obsessed with sex, aren't you?
Okay, so we're not obsessed. We're not obsessed.
Okay. Now, what are we obsessed about?
Okay. What they say is we just think it's all bad and people shouldn't have sex. I mean, that's what they will say about us. We need to clear that up, don't we?
Well, I suppose we do if that's what people are thinking. I mean, it's an astonishing thing to think, really. But we actually believe in using sex properly. And using sex properly is the way God has created us, and it is wonderful. And out of our proper use of sex, not only do we procreate, but we develop in the intimacy of relationship with our partner.
A bonding thing.
A bonding thing, which is really valuable. I mean, marriage doesn't work without it. It's very important to marriage, and it's a very important part of our existence as humans. It is so important that we've got to learn how to do it properly.
So God says, here's this really nice gift. It's called sex. It's for two purposes. You make babies and you bond with each other. That's what you use it for.
Yes, that's right. To use it for other things. Well, it's like if we talk about obesity, people say, oh, you always want about food. And I say, no, food is wonderful.
Yes.
Just because I've got a problem dealing with the obesity issue doesn't mean that I think food is bad. Food is terrific.
We just want to get it right.
It's so good that we get obese. Well, sex is so good that we ruin it.
Right, okay. So it's a good gift from God. It's there for two purposes. Yeah. Take us to the Bible. Okay, so grab your Bible. And what does the Bible say about sex? Are there guidelines there saying this is what you should not do that are going to help us in our thinking about pornography?
Well, the verse that people usually go to doesn't help, I don't think. It's the verse in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you've heard it said of old that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
We look at an image of a naked woman and lust after her, then we're guilty of adultery.
Yeah.
That's how we read it, isn't it?
That is how it is read.
Yes.
And even more, any man who actually happens to notice as you're walking down the street, a nice woman in front of it, any desire you ever have.
Right.
Several problems with it. One has got to do with, basically got to do with translation, which I'm very sorry about. It's not looking with lust, it's looking with lustful intent. So the Greek has a little way of expressing purpose in what we're doing.
Right.
So it's not that I happen to notice.
Right.
I'm actually noticing because I intend to notice.
So it's the bloke who goes to the conference and sees that attractive secretary and thinks, now how can I get to know her a bit better and will she be persuadable? Intent.
Intent is part of it. But then actually the Greek says something different. It says anybody who looks at a woman in order that she may lust.
Ah.
Now, most people, see, the translators try and make it simple for us.
Right.
They try and put it in English that we can understand. And so they can't understand what it means to look in order to make her lust.
Right.
And so they've just got it as anyone who looks with lust.
I've got to say to you, I don't understand quite what it means either.
No, so you can see why they translate it the way
they
do. I understand
their problem, yes.
But that's very naughty, really, because the Greek is actually very straightforward here. It actually is making her lust.
Right.
In other words, it's about flirting.
Right.
Anybody who's already started flirting with a woman is doing it because he's already got adultery in his heart. Doesn't have to go all the way.
The bloke in the office who is talking to the woman at the next desk in order to flirt with
her. Chatting her up.
And getting her interested. That's what's wrong.
That's what it's about. Okay. And the chief passage that most people use is actually not about it.
That's good. That's helpful because we now understand a bit about a passage we didn't understand before.
Yeah.
But I still want to talk about pornography, and this doesn't apply to pornography.
No.
So what does? I mean, there was an article in the paper that was talking about the ethics of pornography. In fact, the article was very careful to say, I'm not going to write about the morality of pornography, just the ethics of pornography. What on earth is that about?
Yeah. Well, before we get to the ethics of pornography, the other thing that seeing that verse properly helps us is to take a load of guilt that is false guilt of
men. Yes, it does, doesn't it? It does.
Which is really important because there is a thing called guilt, and guilt is not the same as feeling guilty. Right? That's a Freudian mistake that all guilt means. We're guilty because we've done the wrong thing. When you do the wrong thing, sometimes you feel guilty, sometimes you don't feel guilty.
Yes.
Sometimes when you haven't done the wrong thing, you feel guilty.
Quite falsely, yes.
Quite falsely. Now, if we're going to talk about guilt, we've got to make sure that we're talking about real guilt and not just feelings.
So, right, okay, if we notice an attractive woman, don't feel guilty.
Feel guilty about having normal sexual response.
Yes.
Because normal respect, that's how we've been created.
Yes.
Men are hardwired to look.
Okay.
So that is a chief sexual response. And
I will notice, but I'm not going to flirt. I'm going to say to myself, an attractive woman, I'm a happily married man, I'm not going to flirt.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Yep. And so I don't have to feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty about the wrong things, but feel guilty about the things you should feel guilty
about. That's right. Okay. Now, what's wrong with pornography?
Yes. Now, having cleared the ground...
back to the ethics.
That's helpful. What on earth does the ethics of pornography mean?
It was astonishing. I read that little article. It was an astonishing article. They wanted to separate ethics from morality. And so they said, we're not saying morality. Morality are those people who say it's always wrong under all circumstances ever. And I'm not talking that morality. I'm talking about the ethics of those of us who do it. Now, the ethics of those who do it, well, you've got to say, well, one concern is, what's happening to the actors and actresses in the pornography?
Mm.
You know, are they exposed to HIV AIDS, or are they not being cared for, not being paid properly and things like that? So I shouldn't watch pornography which
exploits yes.
young actresses and or
actors. Teaches them to devalue themselves
yes.
or whatever.
So I shouldn't watch that. So yes. I should have a little check on the morality, the business ethics
yes.
of the pornographers. And so, well...
This, by the way, is not our ideas. This is what they're trying to say when they're yeah. trying to spell out their yeah. ethics of pornography.
It is desperate spin.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually saved that article on my computer. I didn't know how to save it. I didn't know what heading to save it under. And so I saved it under desperate spin. I couldn't work out what else to put it under.
So they are desperately trying to find a way to justify some pornography being there.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they find it... interesting, attractive. They say they find it helpful, but how do you know that a person is finding it helpful?
Mm.
You can rationalise anything when you are sinful. Okay? We want to do things that are opposed to God's way. So here is something that by nature I want because I'm created as an animal to want sexual desires, and by sin I want because I want to do it my way, not God's way.
Mm.
Therefore, pornography is an absolute dead set recipe for humanity. Now, how do you stop that? Well, in most areas of life, we stop things by rules and governments and judges and police, because that's where the internet comes in.
The internet is complete anarchy. It's ungovernable because yep. it's international, and there's no government in the world that could pass a law that will control it, because they'll just shift it to another legal area, you know, it'll all end up in the Cook Islands or somewhere. Yep. So it can't be controlled, it's going to be there.
Yep.
And we mustn't believe the spin that says, you know, you mustn't have a blanket ban on it.
No, that's right. And what's really good about the internet, in a sense, is it demonstrates that the Bible's true.
What it says about human nature is true.
Exactly. The Bible says, take away all barriers, controls to human nature, and they will sin.
It takes us to Romans 1. God gave them over to what it is they wanted to do.
That's right.
And what ended up was we ended up with the internet.
We have this incredible technological discovery, which is one of the great discoveries, isn't it, of having this cyberspace, of being in contact with anybody anywhere around the world at a moment, at being able to download information from anywhere and everywhere. There has never been, in a sense, television's nothing compared to what we have with this. And what do we spend our time using it for? Pornography.
Well, okay, we've exposed what human nature is like, we've exposed what the internet is like, and we've exposed that there's a problem with pornography, and putting a spin on it, trying to say there are good bits and bad bits won't work.
No.
Now help us understand why pornography is bad and how we deal with it, because people have got it, Christian blokes can become addicted to pornography.
We need to
deal with it. So okay. Why is it bad? How do we deal with it?
Well, first thing is to understand it's just bad education.
Right.
We need to get an understanding of ourselves, our world, sex, our partner, from accurate information. Pornography is totally inaccurate because it presents a view of how humans can relate sexually, which is disturbed, distorted, perverted very often, which is non-relational, which is just untrue.
So you don't even have to like each other. You don't. Relationship's got nothing to do with it.
That's right. And there are these men, or these more commonly women, who are just desperate for you to use them and abuse them. And that is not how sex is to be used. And there's this sense that the mechanics of sex is what makes for good sex.
Mm.
Because the mechanics of sex got nothing to do with good sex.
The relationship makes for good sex rather than
good sex, and you can't get a relationship out of pornographic situation. That's not what it is. Furthermore, it teaches sexual practices which are harmful to people and unhelpful to them. I don't particularly want to rattle out all the things that you can see, but the things are actually not good. They're not healthy.
Mm.
And so this is not helpful for people. This is quite painful. And part of the problem is it brings and tries to bring into mainstream of the community, not the extremes that you see there, but acceptable behaviour that was not acceptable in previous generations.
Right.
So men now asking for their wives to do things for them that their fathers would never have asked their
mothers. Would have been horrified by.
Would have been horrified. And so, and it filters down all the way. It's part of why we have sexualized little girls.
Mm.
All this business about the Barbies now becoming more and more overtly sex. It's the filter down system from pornography. As the pornographers go further, so the mainstream magazines have to go further. So then it just filters all the way through.
It's corrosive. It just eats further and further into society.
That's right. There are subjects that we now talk about that our parents would never have even dreamt of talking about.
If we told our grandparents it was going to be like this, they would have said, no, never.
Society could never
be that corrupt.
That's right.
Yes.
And so you can't sell anything much these days without sex being involved in it. And that's the effect of it. And you can say, well, look, you don't have to watch. But the trouble is now in our society, it means you've got to walk around blind because the billboards, it's just there everywhere. Now, it's bad education for society.
Yep.
It's bad education for the individual who's involved in watching pornography as a way of understanding himself, his own sexual responses, and the possibility of sex with others. Especially bad because it deeply affects your own psychological, physiological state as you're watching it. I mean, bad education, when I'm taught 2 + 2 = 5, so,
yes, yes.
I walk around now with an idea, 2 + 2 = 5.
But yes, and you'll get all your bills wrong at the restaurant.
I get the bills wrong at the restaurant, and it doesn't take all that much long to say to me, but doesn't, Philip, it's 2 + 2 =
yes.
3 with further bad education. But I can change my mind quickly and easily. But this isn't a detached education about systems. This is me learning to experience sex.
Retraining the animal part of us.
Retraining the animal part of me very badly.
Yes.
And so that's the first element. That's why it's wrong. At this point, I haven't given you much guilt. I've just said utilitarianly, you know, as a pragmatic, as an outworking, it's bad. But it's bad too because it uses people. I mean, it teaches us to use people. It puts sex in the category of using another person for gratification.
Mm.
Now, as long as you use another person for gratification, you haven't yet understood sex. You haven't got it right. The essence of good sex is to serve the other person for their benefit.
A grace relationship.
It's a grace relationship. As I give satisfaction and pleasure to my partner, as she gives satisfaction and pleasure to me, so we both enjoy. We enjoy the other person's enjoyment.
And this is a person made in the image of God.
Yes.
So a precious person. Yes.
I can't use them.
So I doubt that anyone watching a pornography on a screen is ever going to say this is a person made in the image of God for whom Christ died.
No. They're not going to say that. Nor somebody whom I'm doing everything I can to present before God on the last day pure and spotless.
So it's very destructive. It's very destructive.
Totally destructive to human relationships.
Okay.
It's anti-human relationships because it's teaching me to be a consumer of other people and a user of other people.
Let me bring it back to the personal level. There are going to be people for whom this is a problem. There are going to be people who become addicted to it. There are going to be marriages for whom it is a problem.
Yeah.
So how do we as Christians tackle it? How do we respond to it? What do we do?
Well, firstly, you've got to grasp it as a symptom rather than a disease. It's a very bad symptom, but it's a symptom rather than a disease. Symptoms are the wake-up call.
Right.
Once you recognise, I've just spent an hour and look what I've just done, you have a problem.
The red light is flashing.
The red light is flashing.
Yep.
Now, what do you do when you get a symptom of cancer? You know, the stupid person says, oh, no, that's not really that.
Yes, right?
And they're dead in a little while. the sensible person says, oh, it's horrible. I'm terrified. I've got to do something.
Yep.
And I've got to take action. What's it a symptom of? Well, for many people, it's a symptom of sheer boredom. It's a symptom of emptiness.
Right.
Our world has turned treats into the commonplace. And when the treat is a commonplace, then I've got to find another treat that's bigger, better. And so we're in this constant chase of hedonism. And life is overfull of pleasure so that we're really bored, deeply, profoundly. And another way of saying is we're getting depressed.
Right.
That we don't have the satisfaction in the simple joys of life anymore. And our relationships are dysfunctional. And watching pornography is not going to increase them, not going to help them, because it's actually teaching me how not to relate to people. And so...
You've diagnosed. Now prescribe.
Well, but the diagnosis takes us into addiction. Takes us further. That is, because I'm not enjoying life, I find this thing which gives me a sense of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
But when I turn it off, I feel worse. So I go without it for a while.
But and then I need more of it.
I need more of it.
Yep. Yep.
And so I addict into it. And so whereas people think, oh, well, I just watch a bit and then I leave.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are finding they watch a bit and they've got to come back. And they need more and more each time in order to get the same sense of their own sexual excitement again. The same sexual, and so it becomes more, which means then their own relationship in the marriage gets more and more dysfunctional. And in fact, instead of pornography improving people's sexual performance, it diminishes people's sexual performance and destroys it. It does the exact reverse way than what they're expecting. Because the only time they can have sexual enjoyment is watching it, not having it in real.
The person who's watching now, maybe watching with the family and saying, oh, this is really important stuff, this is really sort of interesting stuff, when in fact at the back of their head they're saying, I've got this problem, want your help. They want you to say, what do I do about it?
First thing, God.
Right.
We must go straight to God and talk about it. So you've got to confess our sins always. That's where you start. Don't hide it. That's the last thing to do.
Acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it immediately to God and ask for forgiveness. Second thing is, you've got to go for help. Now, the person to go to help for really is your spouse. But for many of us, that is the hardest person to go for. And that is the person who's going to be most hurt by what has just happened too.
Mm. Because she'll think, I'm inadequate, I failed in some way.
Yeah.
That's really painful.
Very painful. And for many spouses, this is going to be a real make or break of themselves and of their marriage.
Mm.
And it's very important to know that you can get through it. This is a symptom of the problem. This is not the problem.
You haven't failed. It's not your problem. You can get through this if you work on it together.
But you've got to work on it together.
Right.
And you need to go and get help. You need to go and get counselling on this issue as to what is it that's driving. What is the hollowness? What is the emptiness? What is the unhappiness within the heart of the person who's watching the pornography?
Do you go to medical help? I mean, you and I, there's the sex therapists who are Christians.
Yeah.
Do you go to medical help? Do you go to your pastor?
Christian person should go to their pastor first up.
Right.
And the pastor will most likely refer them to Christian counselling. And that's
where the pastor will know who the therapist is.
That's right. Be a psychologist, because some of it is, it's an area where psychology is very helpful. Behaviour modification things can be very helpful in this. It can be a social work counsellor. It's not particularly a medical problem. It's not particularly a psychiatric problem, although it can be in association with depression.
Okay. There are going to be some people who can, they hear your message and say, I've just got to stop. And just as there are some people who can stop smoking, they can stop. If there's someone like that, they need to just stop and move on and fill their lives with other things, don't they?
They do, but they do need to stop and come back to God.
Yes.
And raise the matter with Him.
Yes.
And talk it through with Him and find the forgiveness that you have in the death of the Lord Jesus.
It would be a barrier in our prayer life, wouldn't it? It would be a barrier in talking to God.
Yes, all those things are. And so we do need to deal with it. And it is possible for some people to stop. But my warning is that for all addicts think they can stop.
Right.
Some people can stop. Yes. All addicts think they can.
Don't make the mistake of assuming you can.
No. And if you think you can stop and next time, few days later you've started again.
You can't stop. Get help.
Get help.
Yes.
And it's no crime. Because What has been taken is something completely normal, natural, wonderful and good, and been twisted.
Yep. And the good thing is still there.
The good thing is still there. We just need to twist back.
Yep.
To actually get it back in line with God's will.
Okay, so you've got to take it to God, got to make it a matter of prayer, and you've got to talk about it. It can't remain, I'm pretending there isn't a problem.
No, and that's where the power of the internet is, you see, because the internet is so private.
Yes.
Massively public around the universe, but I'm doing it alone.
I just thought of a good idea. You move the computer out of your study into the family lounge room or something.
Something like that. For some people, I think they've just got to get off the computer.
Yep.
It's not worth the great things the computer gives you are not worth having this, or to buy just a word processor that isn't connected to the internet at all. So you should do that. But yes, having it facing outwards so that people can see what you're watching.
There isn't a private thing that you're hiding away
from
people. Right.
There are those techniques that you can help manage the problem.
But get help.
But you need to do more than manage. You need to actually address it and fix it up. And shame is part of it.
Yep.
Well, tough. Be ashamed, but be fixed. It's important to just come clean and say, look, I have a problem with pornography. With nearly a quarter of the population, you're not alone.
If you've got the problem, deal with it. Talk to God, talk to people, talk to your pastor, get help, do something about it. If you don't have a problem, pray for all the people who do, because they desperately need your prayers, and that's going to help. The other thing we've done in the chat room, as always, is to raise an issue that needs a lot more talking about. We've just sort of scratched the surface. So go on talking about it, chat about it. To bring things out in the open and talk about them is always a good thing to do. Philip Jensen, a pleasure as always. Thank you for that.
It's a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time on the chat room.